All right. Well, if you guys want, we'll go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we will jump right on into what I have to share with you tonight, and just how God, just some things that God has been dealing with me and dealing, I think, probably with all of us as a whole. So just bow your heads with me tonight. Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we are here together, Father, in one accord so that we can hear your word, and not only to hear your word, Father, but just to let it speak to us, Lord, in a way that changes our hearts so that we can walk in the way that you have wanted us to walk. And I just thank you, Lord, for this evening. I just ask that you would just bless each individual heart that's here tonight. And Lord, for the people that aren't here, like Chris and Dan, Father, we just thank you that your protection is upon them every single step of the way. And we just thank you for watching out for each and every one of us here tonight as well. In Jesus' name, amen. If you guys want to go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 12. And one thing that has always been apparent to me sometimes is how I know myself included has had opportunities to where we are Christians, but yet sometimes we tend to not act like Christians. And that's never a good thing and never a good scenario to be in. Sometimes we think that we're justified in those things, but it really doesn't matter if we think that we're justified in the way that we act, because the way that we act needs to be reflective of what God's Word says. I want to share with you a quote that actually I wrote down today at work, because I was reading this book. It's called, I think, Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. And one of the lines that he had in it was, looking to your natural senses to give you confirmation of your prayer being answered is about as ridiculous as wanting your ears to see something or trying to hear something from your eyes. And the reason why I said that is because, as we know in Hebrews, that, faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. So it's something that we sense. And so, in other words, the way he was describing it was that faith is our sixth sense. And so, at the same time, what we perceive and what we adhere to and what we believe from our faith isn't necessarily connected to the other senses. Just at the same time, like you said, if you see something, you can't see with your ears and you can't hear with your eyes. And so at the same time, when you believe something in faith, you're not always going to be able to see it in front of you. You're not going to be able to hear it. You're not going to be able to see it in the physical realm necessarily, because that's what faith is. It's believing on something that you don't see yet. It's believing that you've already got it and you've already got the answer, even though you might not see it. So that was just something I know spoke to me today, and so I just wanted to share that with you guys. And so just to kind of another confirmation of the fact that we have to believe on God's Word and God's Word only when it comes to our prayers being answered, because God tells us that when we ask Him something in His name, the answer is already given to us. And so for us to try to see it with our eyes in order to believe it doesn't make sense. We have to believe it with our hearts and believe it with our faith before we will see it in the physical sense, because we won't see it physically. As we believe in faith, your faith ceases to actually be doing any work when the answered prayer you can see and you can touch and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to believe God's going to deliver you through a financial crisis if you got a check in your hand. You know what I mean? So you don't have to believe any further. You just have to thank God at that point. So, as I said, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 is where we're going to start. And this is one, just something that I know that's always been on my heart, and the heading or whatever of this section, it's called The Character of the New Man. And once again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. And, excuse me. And it says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the Lord of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And the reason why I like the way that section flows is because it just caps it off just talking about how each and every action that we do through our deeds, through our words, however we speak to people, the way that we treat people, all is a reflection on our relationship with Jesus. You know, he says that if you say you know God, but you don't know love, and you don't know how to love your neighbor, you're a liar. You don't know God. You know, because if you truly know God, then you will love your neighbors. You know, that you will be kind to one another and all these other things that were mentioned here. And so let's just go through it a little bit at a time. We'll start at the very beginning. The first thing I want to get to is in verse 13 where it talks about forgiving one another. And it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Anybody here have any kind of thing that has recently been bothered them about somebody else? Maybe another believer or another friend that they know. I mean, if there's anything that's ever bothered you about something, or you think that they've wronged you or that you've wronged them, we need to forgive those people. Just as Christ forgave us, and I know it's very hard to grasp sometimes, but that forgiveness that God has extended to us, we have to do the same thing to other people. We have to do that same exact thing, because at the same time, we understand how hard it is to forgive somebody of everything that they've ever done wrong to you, even though you feel justified. And in this world, people will probably encourage you, telling you that you're doing the right thing by being mad against that person. You're doing, you know, people will tell you because, oh, they did you wrong. They deserve this, you know. They deserve you being mad at them or anything like that. People will encourage you to do things that are contrary to the Word of God. But that's why we have to be brought right back to square one. We need to be brought right back to the Word of God and how it tells us that we must forgive one another. Right above it, it says long-suffering. As you can tell, suffer long. So if there's somebody that's actually, maybe somebody's testing your patience, maybe somebody's pushing you over the edge or anything like that, which I know is very possible because, I mean, impossible, because I know that we are all just such patient people here that nothing ever bothers us, right? Okay, well, at least there's one person that, you know, disagrees. That's good. At least we know that there's one truthful person here tonight. But what I really want to look at here is the definition of what it talks about at forgiving. In the Greek, it actually says to do a favor, show kindness unconditionally, give freely, grant forgiveness, forgive freely. The word is from the same root of charis, which means grace. So the same grace that God gives us, and like it says, to show kindness unconditionally, which I know is a very difficult thing to do sometimes, but we must show kindness to other people. Whether or not you think that they've asked you for a favor too many times, and you show disgust for it or anything like that, it doesn't matter. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to push on past that kind of stuff. Because we're supposed to be a servant to other people. Just like he says, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go another mile with them. You know, if they ask you for a shirt, you know, give them your coat. You know, I mean, go that extra mile in being kind to one another and forgiving one another. I mean, this everything that is in this whole passage should be the way it should wrap up and sum up the way every single one of our relationships work. Whether it's with somebody that you love or whether it's with somebody that you dislike. You know, if there's something that irks you about some person, it should be the same way. We should treat them the same way, which I know is tough, but at the same time, we have to do it because that's what we are. We are Christians, and we need to act as Christ acted. Christ acted the same way to where he was, you know, humble with people. He forgave everybody, you know, and so as we must do also. And we'll go on here in verse 14, but it says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Which I know, for me personally, I've had different times where somebody has kind of pushed the wrong buttons on me, and I didn't want to help them out. I didn't want to do anything for them. I didn't want to do, you know, if they asked me for something, I didn't want to help out. Or if it was maybe it was something with work, and maybe I thought I was being treated unfairly. Well, I would go through that point, and I don't know if any of you guys have had this same scenario, but it's kind of like you go through that little bit of that time where you feel like, how dare them do this to me? And then you feel like maybe retaliating by not working as hard or not doing this, or you have these thoughts come into your mind. But then I'm always just gently reminded the fact that everything that I do shouldn't be for that person, shouldn't be for anybody else, but it should be for Jesus. And so what I do is not only a reflection of him, but it also is a reflection of how much I appreciate what he has done. Because if I appreciate what Christ has done, I will try to do my best to reflect that upon the way I live my life. So whether it be, you know, putting in 100% effort, whether at church or work or wherever the case might be, it should just describe the way that we live our life, is that everything you do it for the Lord. Whether you talk to somebody on the street that might just seem lonely and you say hi to them or something, whatever the case might be, we need to reach out to people and show each other love. And, you know, and as we grow in the Lord, these types of things should be the result of our life, is that we should treat people the way Christ treated them, and we should continue on in that same way. Let's go to verse 23, and this is just kind of another, it's almost like just a reiteration of verse 17, where it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men." However, how many of you guys have done something and just done it with half as much effort as you probably could have put into it? Okay, I'm glad that all of us are here tonight, because we all have done it. But at the same time, we need to put in 100% effort, heartily, everything that we do. And it's, and like I said, it's really hard. Maybe it was at work, and kind of like the last example, to where it was something that you didn't feel appreciated, and so you just kind of like, I'll just put in a little bit of effort and get by. But everything that we do, is, like it says, and I love the wording here, it says, do it heartily, you know, as to the Lord and not to men. When I see that word heartily, I think of, it's Swanson's dinners, frozen dinners. And the reason why I think about that is because I remember seeing one of the commercial that came to mind was when these guys, they're all at work, and these, you know, they're telling about, oh, what they have for lunch, and they're kind of describing what you could get, and like those healthy choice, or, you know, like, oh, I had little turkey medallions with a little bit of, you know, with a little bit of mashed potatoes and gravy. And then he had this big guy that was like, oh, well, I had a hungry man, you know, I had a big hearty meal, and just had, and so everybody else, when anything happened, they just blew away and they just withered because they didn't have a hearty meal. And so at the same time, it's kind of like with us, our work, and if you want to think about it that way and keep going a little bit further, our work, if we do it heartily, should last when our works are judged in the fire. Is the fact that if we're doing something as we're supposed to do through Scripture, that work should last. It should be purified in the fire and not just burn and wither away like hay and stubble. And so, I mean, what we do in this life purely reflects on our relationship with Jesus and how much we are adhering to His Word. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 26 is what we're going to do. And I think the main reason why I feel that God brought this kind of topic on in my heart was the fact that, you know, as we try to be an example to the outside world, we sometimes seem to neglect the fellow Christian relationships that we have here at the church. You know, sometimes we try to live such a godly example to the outside world that we tend to neglect the people that are most dear to us. You know, sometimes we try to focus on when I are bringing the next person into church or doing things like that, and we neglect loving our brother and sister that need help right here in our midst. You know, when people need something, we need to be there for them, especially as brothers and sisters in Christ. There shouldn't be a hesitation. If somebody needs something, you should be willing to do that. You should be willing to jump up and say, yeah, I'll take care of that for you. Because we should all not one of us should ever feel guilty about asking for anything. I mean, we shouldn't feel guilty because every one of us has had a time where we needed help. You know, every single one of us has had that time. And so when we reach out and we help your neighbor, whenever you need help, you can reach back and they'll help you right back. And so, I mean, it's that kind of bond that we should share with the love with one another, is that we should just bond and bring everything that we can to the table. And as Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26, we'll go ahead and we'll read through it. And it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we'll stop right there real quick. Why do you guys think that Paul would make such a declaration about that? For people that, you know, that practice such things that were listed in verses 19 and 20 and 21, how do you think he could make such a declaration about their eternal destiny? I mean, how could Paul just make a blanket statement and say, you know, for those, he's like, I also told you in time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. How could he ever make just such a blanket statement like that? Yeah. I mean, if you truly are following God, then these things, granted, we will have times where there's going to be times where something slips up or things like that. But the way I see this, what he says is those who practice such things. And when you practice something, you do it often. You know, you do it very often. And so if you're practicing, if you're practicing outbursts of wrath, maybe that means you've got a really bad anger problem that constantly comes up. You know, those things need to be dealt with. You shouldn't be practicing that stuff. You shouldn't be practicing being mad at people and being selfish or anything like that. You might not think of it as being practicing because maybe you guys have it perfect already. Maybe you're just a perfect angry person, but maybe you get mad righteously. And then we'll go on here in verse 22. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. And the biggest thing there, or not the biggest thing, but one of the things that jumps out to me is that word kindness and how it's just that description of how we should just be disposed to being kind to other people. And maybe that's not your initial reaction, but that's how we know that God is working that perfect gift and that perfect action of love through us, is that we start to change the way we react to people. We change the way that we interact with people, that we will have a disposition to being nice to people. As hard as that might seem for some, we will have that disposition. If you are walking in the Word of God and you see how His Word just affects your life, then you will see how the Holy Spirit, you know, will remove those abrasive qualities from your character, you know, from your person. The Holy Spirit will remove those characteristics that cause you to be rough with other people, that cause you to be angry at other people. He will start to move those things, but that is also, it also goes in line with the fact that, are you letting the Holy Spirit do a work in you, or are you just trying to do it the way you want to do it? And the reason why I say that is because at the beginning of this section, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And one of our teachings that I recently were going through, I think this was one of the chapters that we talked about at our youth group, is the fact that when it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, that doesn't mean that you are necessarily walking in the Spirit if you're just denying yourself of being angry or denying yourself of being jealous about something. Because it's not, you can't just deny these characteristics that are of the flesh and automatically say that you are walking in the Spirit. What it says is that if you are walking in the Spirit, therefore you will not do these things. It's more of a cause and effect rather than saying, I'm going to choose not to do these things, and then therefore I will be walking in the Spirit. That's getting the cart, you know, it's getting the cart before the horse. Because when you walk in the Spirit, which, what does that mean? Anybody? Yeah, living the Word of God, living exactly what the Word of God says. When we walk in the Spirit, it means we're walking in according to the Spirit or according to the Word of God. And so what takes place or what transpires in our life is walking in the Word, you know, walking in Jesus, doing exactly what we need to do in Christ. So it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So therefore, if you actually are walking in the Spirit, then that means that you are letting Christ, you're letting God and His Word transform your life. You're letting Him transform your emotions, letting Him transform the way you act with people, the way that you are just predisposed to, you know, interactions with others. God will change those things into where you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh in a way that you will not be angry, you will not be jealous, you will not do those things. And so if you aren't seeing things being melted away from you, I urge you to press in further into the Word of God and live by the Spirit. Live by the Word of God. Don't just simply try to deny those habits, because it's just like, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you know, it'd be a lot easier if God delivered you from being an alcoholic rather than you just saying, well, if I deny myself alcohol, therefore I'm not an alcoholic. And you know, it's one of those things where you still got that addiction that needs to be dealt with. And so, at the same time, when it's lust of the flesh, you have been programmed day after day from day one in your life that this is how you should react to people in the world. This is how you should do those things. And everything that is your natural instinct prior to having a relationship with Christ is going to be contrary to the Word of God. You're gonna think, you know, that first person that cuts you off, your first reaction, raise a hand and tell them hello, you know. Or shout at him, or just be mad at him, or tailgate him, or do something. I mean, you're going to try to do every single one of those things. Why? Because you're predisposed to think that that's the right behavior to take care of things. You know, just like when kids, when they're younger, you have to teach them not to beat up on each other if they didn't go their way. They're predisposed to think that this is how I handle this conflict. I'm going to handle it this way. Someone takes my toy, I'm going to push them down. You know, somebody pushes me down, I'm going to jump up and hit them. Or, I mean, they always have these things, and you have to train them in the right way to do something. So at the same time, we have to allow God to train us by living according to His Word so that we will grow away from those tendencies. So we will grow away from doing the things of the flesh, because when we walk in the Spirit, these things, the Spirit itself will transform you and take away all of those things that have hindered you in the past. So we will have just like that kind disposition to look towards one another. So let's read from verse 22 on again real quick. So that we know, and this will be kind of a proof point for us, is that as we go forward, when we see the way that we interact with other people or just see the way we live our life, we can see whether or not God is working in our lives. Are we letting Him work in our lives? Because that, to me, that is the biggest thing that people have to do, is they have to let God work in their life. Because if you deny the power of God, if you deny the fact that He's going to change you, if you deny the fact that He's going to do anything for you, He's not going to do anything for you. You have to ask Him, and you have to believe on Him, and you have to just say, you know, I'm open for you to work through me, and really be open to doing that. Because there's quite a bit of difference, just like it says, it's quite a bit of difference than from paying lip service to God and saying, I praise you, God, versus actually having a heart that is crying out to Him and praising Him. Because just like it says, you know, in the day of judgment, there's going to be people that are going to be, Lord, Lord, you know, I prophesied your name. I did all these things in your name. And He's going to be like, I didn't even know you. Why? Because they weren't serving Him. They weren't walking in the Spirit. They were walking in the flesh. But they seemed to think to themselves, as long as they denied themselves some of these fleshly things, then they were automatically walking in the Spirit. They were automatically entertaining the right relationship with God, when that wasn't the case. Because God, as Him being your Savior, if He's your Lord, as you walk in the Spirit, these things will grow less and less frequent of being a habit for you. As it goes on here, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And the reason why it ends in that way at the end of Galatians 5 there is because sometimes people can get a head on themselves after, you know, if they see things that are evidence in their life, they're like, oh, I'm very kind to people, I love people, and, you know, I'm very patient with other people. Sometimes people can get very conceited about the evidence of God being in their life. And so you got to keep that in check, because God wants humble servants. Even though all of these things will be great, that'll be radiating from you as you walk in the Spirit, God also wants people that are humble, because they don't want anybody to get into competition with one another, get jealous of somebody because they did more than they did, or any of those such things. And so I just really want to just stress to you guys tonight that we need to treat one another as a body of believers in an exemplary way. I mean, versus the world. I mean, we need to treat the world just as well, but at the same time, as fellow believers, we need to treat each other with so much more respect and love than sometimes we do. We need to treat each other with more love and just compassion, and always be willing to help, because that's who we should be. We should be willing to go that extra mile, just as Jesus has called us to. So if you guys just want to bow your heads tonight, we'll go ahead and we'll pray, and that'll be it for this evening. Father, I just thank you tonight. I just thank you, Lord, that I know that even though it was a short message, I know that your hand was upon it. I know that your hand, Father, just wants us to, you know, the Word of God and the Spirit, Father, that you have, that you've planted in each and every one of us when we said yes to Christ Jesus. You planted that Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Father, that resurrection power to completely transform our lives, Lord. I just thank you that that Spirit lives in us, and that we would allow it to live through us, Father, as we would live out and we would walk in the Spirit, that we would live in the Spirit, so that people may see that our love and our kindness towards other people, Lord, people will see that and know that we are yours, that people will know that we are Christ's servants because of the way that not only we treat one another, we love one another, but the way we treat complete strangers, Father, they will know who we are and know that we are yours. Because we love you, and that we love your creation, Father. And your creation is every individual on this planet. I just thank you that you have created everybody, even the ones that say they don't believe, Father. But we love them just the same, because we know that your Son, Christ Jesus, came and died for them as well. And I just thank you, Lord, that you would just put that upon every one of our hearts, that everybody that we touch and that we come into contact with, Father, are all people that you came and died for. And I just thank you that you would just birth inside us a compassion and gentleness and kindness, Father, for all humankind. And I just thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.